Joining us now on this We Love Telly podcast is writer and creator of new Comedy Central show, Tom McRae. Hello, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Very well, very well. You debuted on Comedy Central Threesome last night. You must be quite hyped.
Yeah, I'm really pleased. And we had a big launch for it in London and a big launch for it in Ireland. And so I'd seen episode 1 and 2 so many times. And last night I kind of thought, oh, well, you know, it's on, I'll watch it. But actually seeing it going out for real on my TV with ad breaks and all the rest of it, it is actually the most exciting thing, is to watch it on just normal television.
Tom, you're so showbiz. I was going to say, you can't get tired of seeing the debut of your own television show as you created. You're not that showbiz, are you?
Well, it's just, you know, I've seen in a lot of edits and sitting there on set every day, you do feel like you know it so backwards that
sure.
You can't have any more excitement. And then you suddenly find out you do. It's, you know, it's endlessly exciting seeing your show with your name on it and your words. It doesn't get tired.
Indeed. Well, I should point out to listeners who didn't catch the first episode on Comedy Central last night, Threesome is a comedy about three flatmates, a gay bloke and a straight couple, who after her 30th birthday have a night of excess, don't they, really?
Yes.
And for me, it's probably best that by the line, where do you want to be when the party's over?
Yes, that's right. It's, the party can't go on forever. Who do you want to be when the music stops?
Ah, very good.
Yeah, it's the poetic line. So, no, it's about, you know, people at a point in their lives where they've sort of got to grow up a bit, and they're incredibly intense friendship, that these three people just absolutely love each other,
mm-hmm.
and then they end up becoming family. So the first series is about the pregnancy and the kind of the complications of being pregnant and how that affects your life. But also it's about them kind of learning to have this new relationship with each other and hopefully having some laughs along the way.
And about friends being the new family as well, I suppose. It's quite interesting.
Yeah.
The Scottish, Irish and English characters all brought together in London. You don't know, at this stage we don't know too much about their links, but they are family, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very, very close friends. And also, you know, one of the things at that age is that you can have very good friends and you can maybe drift apart a bit, particularly when people have kids
mm-hmm.
and get married. But because they have this child that holds them all together, they're actually, you know, their relationship can only get deeper. And they're not just, it's not just friends are the new family, they are now literally family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Richie's is a father, Mitch is going to be her husband, you know, they're properly linked now.
Now, there's quite a lot of celeb Twitter endorsement flying your way. Before the show even started, I saw Dawn Porter and Chris O'Dowd and Richard Bacon sending you very fulsome congratulations. What's the weirdest kind of thing that viewers picked up on and have tweeted you about? Or not weirdest, the most unusual aspect of last night's episode that you may not have thought about? I mean, what struck me, living in London, and this I should explain to all people that don't live there, in that there London, part of the show was shot in Shoreditch. I like to spot where I could recognise. So, but what kind of thing, unusual things were people tweeting at you?
I don't know if it was unusual so much. I mean, the one thing I found that surprised me was not from the tweets so much as from some of the press, which has been very, very positive.
Uh-huh.
But the reviews have largely said, from this slightly, I think, sort of preposterous premise comes a great show or something like that, which is an unlikely premise,
uh-huh.
the idea that three friends would take drugs and have a threesome. And I thought, which is not remotely preposterous, if you know the right or maybe wrong people. And so I think maybe the kind of things that I hadn't thought were particularly unlikely or mm-hmm. shocking that have been seen as sort of shocking by other people. But mostly I think everyone's sort of seen it in the same way that I have, which is it's just a very sincere show, even though it's got a certain amount of dressing that's a bit out there.
Uh-huh.
It comes down to being about friendship and love, really, and it's quite sentimental, I think, in its odd way.
Sentimental. This is your last of the summer wine oeuvre part of your career.
It's the last of the vodka.
Very good.
I suppose it's personal to me in that it reflects a sort of certain aspect of my own life and my friends who I'm very, very close to, and we're not like those three characters. They're not literally based on anyone that I know.
Uh-huh.
But there is, and I think if you just have a lot of sort of appetite for life and if you have very close friendships with people and you have lots of fun with them, and it's kind of nice to write about that, really.
You mentioned the reaction. I mean, I did see that you tweeted the other day that you'd got a very positive reaction from the Daily Mail, of all people. But,
yeah, the Daily Mail really liked it, which which I was very surprised at, and you know, obviously very pleased with.
Well, obviously, and you mentioned the drug use, which was very understated. Really, it was just people. You know, let's put ourselves in a moral vacuum here on this podcast. Let's just mention what happened. They all took a pill and they all had a threesome. So
yes, but if you didn't have that, they wouldn't have had the threesome because Richie, the gay character, he is gay. He's not bisexual. He's not conflicted.
Right.
But if you're wasted enough, then I believe I'm told you just want to shag anything, and that's what happens to Richie. So it's not gratuitous. You actually need that for the story to then happen. And also, the whole point of the series is that it's about people who've had this incredible party lifestyle. Mm-hmm. You have to stop. Because mm-hmm. they're having a baby, and they find it quite hard, but they do it. So it's actually about people making the right choices.
Exactly.
It's about making the wrong ones, or else there's nowhere to go.
No, that's a very interesting point. You set it as moral framing, then, really. They're going beyond their own boundaries when intoxicated. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think to set up this series, it's always going to be a kind of odd or unusual scenario, and the only way to go into that is to kind of dive in into the deep end with it. But unlike, I don't know, something like Two Pints of Lager, which was sort of about people behaving badly permanently, mm-hmm. this is about people trying to stop.
There are consequences to actions.
Yeah, well, she gets pregnant. I mean, that's pretty, it's pretty major.
This really is quite a new development for Comedy Central, isn't it, being their first original scripted comedy. You're not only the writer, but the associate producer. And it's been made by Big Talk Productions. Take us through the commissioning process. Is it all big lunches and nights out in Soho and stuff like that?
There's a certain element of that, but not massively. and, you know, it's a terrible waste of money to spend money that you could be making a show with on, you know, going out for boozy lunches. And we were very good about not wasting money at any point because it's, you know, it's beautifully shot. It looks incredibly classy, and that's because we didn't waste a penny along the way. But no, it's, the executive producer Simon Curtis, or one of the execs, Simon Curtis, a couple of years ago, and I was sort of talking about ideas I had, and Simon liked this kind of view onto a world that threw some shows. And so he and I went off to Big Talk and produced lots of really good comedies like Rev and Him and Her. Mm-hmm. Then Comedy Central liked it and kind of took about 2 years to get it all going. With fairly long pauses along the way. And then I was actually down on the set of The Doctor Who, which I wrote, which was on a few weeks ago, for the first time, sitting on the edge of the set when I got the text to say that we got the series greenlit. So it was all kind of go from then on.
So there's going to be a second series?
Well, I hope so. We're talking about it. I think, you know, we've only just had the first two go out, so it's too early to know for sure. But we're all very keen to do one if it'll give us money.
Obviously.
That, really.
Now, as regular listeners to this podcast recall, I know bugger all about Doctor Who myself, but I'm led to believe by a close associate that your episodes are quite the big deal. How would you characterise your work in the Whovian oeuvre, Ian? That's very...
Well, it was very, very different from Threesome, and it's been quite nice having the two on so close to each other because I don't think you could show more, I suppose, range as a writer than to have probably the saddest thing I've ever written, which is all kind of epic and, you know, kind of changing destinies, and then balance that with three friends just sort of messing around and having a laugh. It was really nice to do it. I hadn't done one for quite a while, so I think I was much better than when I first started doing them. And if you haven't seen it, the DVD will be out soon. I recommend it.
Good plug. I'm led to believe that you brought back the Cybermen.
Yes, I did when I first started doing it, which was about 5 years ago.
And are there any other classic foes that you think should be brought back? Or indeed, who you'd like to write for, classic foes?
Well, I've not done Dalek Story, and I'm not in a massive rush to do one, but one day I'd like to do one, because I think we should all do one once. But I think the thing with the show is that it's constantly evolving, not just doctor by doctor, but week by week, because it's always, you can go anywhere, you can do anything. It could be, you know, it could be Agatha Christie in the 30s, or it could be the Emperor Zarg in the year 20 billion, or anywhere in between that. And I think the good thing is to keep moving forwards with it. So it's nice to bring the old villains back because the kids like it. It's a kind of, I suppose, it's part of the brand. But I think what's even better is the new stuff.
And The Girl Who Waited, your episode, was very popular with fans and public. Do you, like I was mentioning Twitter earlier in relation to Threesome, do you check out what the hardcore fans think of your writing on forums and stuff like that?
Well, we're all told not to do that, and yes, I did. Partly because I thought they might say nice things, and they did. I mean, I think all the writers say we don't look online, and I think we're all lying. I think we are. So it was nice to see it because people liked it so much. So it was really sort of pleasurable to watch. I mean, the fans, I suppose, like any group of people, you get some mad ones and you get some very sort of sensible, intelligent ones. And sometimes people would sort of take quite a lot of time to write very thoughtfully about why they liked it or why they didn't. Uh-huh. And it's quite interesting as to why people don't like things. It's if someone just starts ranting and say, oh, this is bloody awful, and you can just ignore all that. But the most part, people seem to love it. So having the whole sort of Twitter thing, having that direct relationship with the audience is all new to me. I've only been on a couple of months. Well, a few months. So I guess this is the future, and it's quite nice to be able to know exactly what people think.
Yeah, well, it must be very tempting, as you say, for these entire threads named after you to go and see what they're saying and just track the people who aren't so complimentary, you know, just what they've got to say.
Yeah, and I think you need to take it with a certain pinch of salt in that the written word carries an awful lot of power, and for pretty much all of human history, you only got your words into print if you were quite a kind of significant cultural commentator. Uh-huh. You know, to get into a newspaper meant that you were a sort of top journalist, or, uh-huh. you know, to publish a book, whatever, meant that you were a really successful author. Now, anyone can get their words out there, uh-huh. which means that you get an awful lot of rubbish. But equally, a lot of people who aren't professional journalists still have, you know, a really interesting point of view. So as long as you don't kind of, you know, live or die by it, it's really handy to be able to kind of get that instant reaction.
A very sensible approach to surviving, I think. So yeah. 2013 is the 15th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Yes.
I'm sure I can ask you if you're going to be involved, and you'll probably have to deny, but let's put it a different way. What do you think would be really, really cool to do for the big anniversary?
Well, I mean, I don't know that the plans are that concrete yet for what's going to happen. I mean, I did an interview for the Doctor Who website a few months back, uh-huh. and at the end they said, oh, we've got some stuff we're going to ask you that we're going to show for the 50th stuff on the website. So I ended up talking about The Girl Who Waited as a show that I'd written 3 years ago, which is quite weird. I suddenly had to tell them, oh, I remember back in 2011. So they're obviously putting some stuff together, and I know that Stephen's got some special tricks up his sleeve. I would hazard a guess, and I really don't know, but I would hazard a guess that a former Doctor will come back. David, because I know that he still wants to do stuff, but I just have to say that is my absolute guesswork. I've heard nothing official about that.
Just to clarify, that's Tom's guesswork. But
that is me guessing.
I'm sure you're making a lot of people very excited right now.
Yeah, but I think it's a fairly sensible guess to make, whether it's true or not. We should have to see. But it's going to be, you know, how many shows reach their 50th? It's very, very rare. Uh-huh. I hopefully there's going to be something really incredible. Well, no, hopefully, definitely there will be. But I've no idea what.
Okay, so you apart from Threesome and Doctor Who, you've also created Mile High and a favourite show that I still love, No Angels, you've written for as well. Now, you've also recently finished, I believe, on your first children's book. When I woke up,
My third.
Your third book?
Yes. Well, yeah, so that's just came out in hardback a few months ago. It's come out in paperback soon. Mm-hmm. When I woke up, I was a hippopotamus. It's a picture book for sort of 2 to 6 year olds. And it follows up Baby Pie, which was my second book, and The Opposite, which was my first.
And is this based on real life experiences, just like Threesome as well?
Well, actually, it is slightly in that it's a friend of mine who's an actor who, when he was at drama school, they used to do animal movement classes.
Right.
And you had to pretend to be an animal and give it a human characteristic. And he just said to me once with a very sort of moping expression that he's had to spend 2 terms being a crocodile rapist. and just, I think the idea of people pretending to be animals kind of popped into my head. And so it's a story about a little boy who, he's got an active imagination and he doesn't want to get up in the morning, so he's hippopotamus, and he doesn't want to eat his breakfast, so he's a robot, because robots can't eat, and he doesn't want to go to school, so he's a statue.
Yeah.
And in each of the pictures, he becomes the thing, and it's kind of his day, and his sort of naughtiness, and it all resolves quite sweetly at the end.
Well, I'm glad you went with that title and not the original...
The Crocodile Rapist, probably not sold as many copies. So no, it's been nice to do the other stuff, and there's also the brilliant book of Doctor Who, which is a kind of companion volume that comes out each year, which is an incredibly well done, clever book, which is out, I think, this month. Uh-huh. And I've contributed a piece to that, which is kind of like a user's guide to the Handbots, which are the robots for my episode. It's like a kind of sales guide, like a sales pitch brochure you pick up in a car showroom, but for these robots. So it's quite a funny book. There's different contributions from the different writers. So that's out soon as well.
So all in all, everything is pretty rosy at the moment.
Yes, it's been a really good year. So I hope it continues.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Tom. Threesome is on Mondays, that's right, at 9:30.
Monday night, it's 9:30.
On Comedy Central. So thank you very much for joining
us. And next Monday coming up, we have Adam Garcia as our guest star, playing various topless scenes, people will be pleased to know, as a love interest, Dave the Builder, and he's absolutely fantastic. It's a really good episode, actually, next week. Very, very funny.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining us, Tom McRae.
Thank you so much.